congratulations on your second album. I know
Thanks.
You were here over the summer. You were in Indianapolis playing some awesome Mozart. And now this fall, you're going to be debuting this album, doing some touring and playing. How is it to have a new release? Is it fun to revisit this rep now that you've recorded it?
Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful experience now that I recorded it. It feels like it feels seasoned, you know? And so, I mean, we recorded, of course, we had like a year. We didn't record it right away. You know, we had played this repertoire a lot. I mean, well, that's relative compared to for our age and how, you know. But we at least had, we hopefully were, you know, we feel slightly prepared, I guess. But
sure.
We're very excited to play it. We're playing it a lot this season coming up, and we're really looking forward to it because it will be very different, of course, also, hopefully, from the album. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting how you guys sort of came to know each other, because I guess your sort of your mentors, your teachers had played together too. Is that a neat connection that you have?
Yes, actually, yes. That's funny that you mentioned that. I started playing with Denai. We were partnered together for a concert like 2 years ago, and I studied at Kronberg Academy in Kronberg, Germany, near Frankfurt, and she studied in Hanover with Lars, and I studied with Christian, and they played together a lot, Lars Vogt and Christian Tetzlaff. And then we were partnered for a concert together, and we really loved playing with each other, and it was a great chemistry, as you know, something that you can't really explain. It's just one of those things. And we just really enjoyed it. And then one thing led to another, and it was sort of out of our hands how it worked out. And we're very happy for it that we're able to play more together now. She's now with the management company that I'm with, and so and doing great things. Great things. So I'm really looking forward to working with her again this season and for seasons to come, hopefully.
I imagine it's nice to have, recorded with someone like Christopher O'Reilly, who's older and has played so much and collaborated with so many folks, and having had teachers and mentors, you know, that you work with. But someone, it might be exciting to explore this repertoire with someone for the first time that hasn't had that. Is it nice to sort of have someone a little closer to your age and sort of exploring these things and having discussions with it?
Yes, it's different. It's for exactly that reason you're saying. I mean, of course, it's a huge honor to play with it doesn't matter the age, you know, age is a number, but to play with any musician that's great, you know. And so, and I consider both of these experiences with the recording that I've done to be wonderful musicians that I've been very grateful to work with, Chris and Denai. So it's just very much dependent. Every person is different. Every chemistry is different. And of course, experience does impact one in a huge way. So it does definitely provide a different dimension and energy when you're working with someone older than when you're working with someone. But I don't want to base that on age necessarily. So,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me be careful.
I know, technologies change, you know, we might think about, Jeremy Dink writing blogs and writing quite a bit.
Sure. Sure.
But, you know, George Enescu was one of these guys who was a great conductor. He was an incredible violinist, you know,
yes,
having Izai write for him and, you know, different things, and was a wonderful
pianist,
composer.
Yeah.
And I was sort of surprised. I haven't looked up his writings, but I read a wonderful Strings article with you where you were sort of quoting George Enescu and talking about his writings. And I think this is a real gem that I didn't know, and I'm a fiddle player myself. Is it fun to explore these sort of repertoire and tell us a little bit about discovering writings of Enescu as well?
Well, the writings that I've discovered have been on the internet, and they have not been unfortunately been in any other capacity other than that. But I would love to delve further, of course. And I've played the works that I've played so far by Enescu have been his Sonata No. 3, his octet, and now this is the third, his Impressions, which I just recorded. with Denai, which we just recorded together. And we are still learning this piece. I mean, this was a very new, fresh experience for us. More fresh than the Schumann. The Schumann we had more experience with than the Ionescu. So this was more fresh for us. And so I look forward especially to this season of doing this. It's he's an incredible composer. He wrote his octet when I think he was about 19 years old. But this one he wrote, I think he was in his, I'd like to say 50s, so middle-aged when he wrote this, considering his death, I think like 20 years later, 15 years later, not quite entirely sure, but he was middle-aged, and this is, he was looking back on, I'm assuming, on his childhood, and but at the same time, I would like to say that it's sort of, this piece, Impressions from Childhood, is about looking at life through a child's perspective. So yes, he was looking back at his childhood, but he also would like the listener, I'm assuming, and, you know, to perceive it from the child's eyes. So, and he dedicated it to one of his teachers, so that's also, something very special, I feel. So, yeah, it's quite fascinating.
It's funny. I think pianists, when you say Schumann, sort of get, you know, either it's either good or bad for a pianist. They either love Schumann or they're not a big fan of their, you know, either Chopin or Rachmaninoff or whatnot. And I know violinists, you know, we think about Paganini or Beethoven concerto, Brahms concerto, these great big things. But Schumann was such a great chamber music writer, whether it was a string quartet or a violin sonata. There were so many beautiful things, and what a tragic life we know about. You know, wonder if he loved Brahms, but did he know that Brahms might have had a crush on his wife? There's so many things. Is it fun to delve into these sort of things? And did you guys look at the manuscripts? What all sort of discussions did you and Danae have when you were working on this?
A sonic experience that we had was like, and an experience tangibly that we had was we played on a pianoforte, or not a pianoforte, but a piano that was played in Schumann's time, this piece. That was really fun. We were able to do that because that actually changed the sound completely, at least for what I was doing and also what Denai was doing. And that was fascinating. That was very fascinating. And I love to study the composer, but at the same time, it's like, it also comes down to the music itself and the moment. And so I don't want to get too wrapped up in the cerebral aspect of it. It's important, of course, but it's a balance. So, but it does absolutely inform and is a very important part of the process to understand. And one could always understand more, at least in my perspective. So for me, I could study more. So
the Dvorak is like three little bonbons and then this huge dessert. I mean, the last movement is probably twice as long as the other three combined, and just so hard on the sleeve. Is it a fun one? I know, I think I read that you'd had experience playing the trio version as opposed to the violin and piano version. How are these little mini pieces?
It's a beautiful trio version. They're beautiful. They're short. They're romantic, as in the title. And they're just perfect to play for encores or to play as a lighter piece ish on a program. So I say ish because it's still dark a little bit, but also light and gleaming and romantic and passionate. So yeah.
What's on the horizon for you? I know this program will be. I think you're adding some Schubert or something or other to it to round things out. What else is on the horizon for you, Carolyn? Yeah.
Well, I am, so the recital tour, I'm doing a recital tour with Denai, that's in November, but before that, I'm playing this program in Steinway Hall for fun, just for a little CD release party on September 8th, that's going to be really fun, and then I'm doing some concerts with orchestras in the next few months that I'm really looking forward to. I'm doing Beethoven a couple of times, which I'm very grateful for and also honored to do. And, you know, always looking up in awe to that piece. And then I'm doing Ligeti later on in the year, which I'm excited about. I did it just a couple months ago in Hong Kong for the very first time, and I feel that it's one of my favorite pieces now of all time. One of the most challenging pieces I've ever played, for sure, but one of the greatest, most intense pieces I've ever played. Awesome man, awesome composer.
Would you tell us a little bit about having to play such diverse pieces? Because Ligeti and Beethoven are such complete different sound worlds than those. Is it, I mean...
You know what's funny about this? Ligeti was a Mozart specialist. The conductor that I was working with in Hong Kong told me this. Yes, that is quite funny, I find, and hilarious. But I also find it quite not surprising, you know? Mozart was crazy.
Yeah, I know his son is a wonderful percussionist and still making wonderful music. But
wow.
Yeah, his music is it different sound worlds? Is it something that do you think General Kidd would have ever thought his Strad would be playing Ligeti?
I have no idea. That's a good question. Different sound worlds for sure. Different. The concerto is so fascinating because there's Renaissance. There's a bunch of things, bunch of different sound worlds combined. There are Renaissance aspects of it, like archaic almost. There are ocarinas in it, which is fascinating. I mean, it's so cool. Like the woodwind players have to play these ocarinas, this ancient Chinese. I think it was in China, Chinese instrument, you know. And so and yet it's combined with these worlds of sound that you haven't heard ever before. So it's quite cool. And he was a big fan of electronic music too, and did a lot of for electronics too. So you have all of this kind of inspiration in one, which is I find cool. I also find there's like a huge link between Renaissance music and contemporary music, you know, in terms of sound.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's fascinates me. We're repeating. Everybody's always recycling.
The rhythm sometimes you think, oh
yeah.
My gosh, you know, how is this notated?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, we look forward to it. We'll stay in touch with you on Facebook, through your website, and we hope you'll come back to Indiana and make some great music around here.
Thank you.
Congratulations. This is a really lovely album, and we can't wait
to play
it.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and it was great to talk to you again.